This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:48 in the evening and you're with Lynn, Ayman and Kelvin. And we've been talking about the introduction of two new compulsory subjects for undergraduates in public universities. And they are philosophy and current issues and ethics and civilizations.
Huge topics.
Yeah.
Huge subjects.
Yeah. Very interesting.
Very
if done well.
Hugely interesting, but considering how quickly they're hustling to get this done, we have some concerns. So let us know how you feel about it. Let us know whether you think this is a good idea. You can call us at 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Now we're crossing over to Simon Soon, who's the host of our all-new night school program. He's also a senior lecturer in the Visual Arts Department at the University of Malaya. Simon, thank you so much for joining us today.
Hello, thanks for having me.
So why do you think philosophy is not featured significantly as a course in Malaysian universities?
It's a sort of like difficult question to answer. On the one hand, I guess philosophical sort of like concepts do play a sort of like very big role in the Malaysian sort of like imagination and in nation building, right? But it gets sort of like applied and it plays out principally in political economy during that time. So there's always an applied dimension to it. Whereas today, then, of course, it then sort of gets shoehorned into this sort of like larger concept called STEM, right? Unfortunately, that also means that in Malaysia, there's possibly only one department in our entire public education system that actually offers philosophy as a major.
Where is that?
That's at USM.
Oh, okay.
Historically, UM used to offer it while it was in the, Singapore, the original campus in Singapore. But subsequently, of course, NUS did continue to sort of like the program is still ongoing. In Malaysia, if you were to take up philosophy, I think the only place you can do it is in Penang.
So you do research, and your interests are related to philosophy. How would you say learning philosophy has affected you or influenced you in terms of your perspective and how you think?
There might be a misrepresentation over there. I'm actually not a philosophy major. I possibly have only taken one subject in my course of study. But I do art history. Mm-hmm. And one of the interesting about art history is that it does challenge some of the assumptions that philosophy as a discipline has developed, right? Which is principally about like the privileging of ideas over objects or the making of things as a conveyor of sort of like certain ways of thinking. So through art history, of course, then I am sort of like made to engage with philosophical sort of like concepts and ideas. But principally also through art history, then I'm also constantly aware that there are other ways in which you can sort of like think about philosophy and other ways you can challenge some of the idea-centered sort of like framing that the discipline of philosophy tends to sort of like over-prioritize.
So as we've been really kind of hammering home, these are not simple subjects, philosophy and current issues, ethics and civilizations. So with that said, what are some of the key concepts that you would like to see being focused on? Because it's pretty clear that it isn't going to work if we're attempting to do some sort of deep dive into everything that these issues cover.
Yeah, you're right. It's a really sort of like hard question. And I think it requires probably a lot more different communities sitting down together, having a frank conversation about this topic. I mean, for me, my concern has always been principally about thinking about how philosophy can be maybe a platform to discuss issues on minority sort of rights. We can think more broadly about gender. I think we can also think about, really question some of the assumptions that we have about identity formation in this sort of country. If there's anything to teach, it is to teach thinking skills and to teach us to sort of be comfortable with this uncertainty that we don't have to jump to conclusions so readily and easily, right? That philosophy is a space for us to be comfortable with being sort of like uncertain about certain things and giving that space for thinking to happen.
So subjects like philosophy and ethics can be very technical and dense. How do you think they can be made to be more interesting so they can have more engaging discussions for students?
Right. Because I don't teach philosophy, I actually teach art history. And that's how I sort of like, and how I teach art history is basically I smuggle philosophical concepts into the way I teach, right? And one of the most, one of the easiest things to do, at least one of the things, that one of the tools that we have in art history is that we teach through the visual. And there's nothing like, you know, arresting a student's attention by showing a complex painting with a set of complex codes that you're then able to sort of like decipher. And through the process of actually analyzing the painting and walking the student through the process of unpacking the density of sort of like meanings in the painting in and of itself, or even a photograph or a building, an architecture or an urban space or spiritual practice, you are then able to arrive at some of the more abstract sort of like concepts that sometimes might not be visible or directly apparent to the student. And sometimes you also require some kind of creativity. So certain historical sort of like ideas, concepts or things themselves don't lend themselves like, they're not that transparent in terms of how, what they mean or what they signify. And you might be required to, or I am required to sort of like draw parallels to contemporary sort of like practices to highlight how similar they are on some level, but also how different they can be, right? To offer possibility that history can teach us about, you know, different possibilities.
We have a message here from Sai, who is hoping that they don't put scores and have exams for these two subjects. And if they happen to do so, you know, how would you give a score to subjectivity, given that you are someone who grades subjective projects yourself?
Right. Yeah. No, unfortunately, our learning rubrics or the way that educators in this country tend to sort of like create learning outcomes and systems to measure those sort of like achievement of those outcomes tend to be a bit more too metrical, and they don't lend themselves to a subject, the humanities, that requires you to go on an exploration or an adventure and possibly, you know, benefiting from that lesson only probably 20 years down the line, right? They want immediate sort of like outcome by the end of the semester. You should have achieved this sort of like learning objectives. That's not the kindest sort of like way to sort of like measure learning outcomes. These things sort of like sit and dwell in you. I've been looking at not so much philosophy, but actually the teaching of historical thinking rather than the teaching of history and the sort of like evaluation sort of like system that they have put in place. Essentially, what it is, it's a lot more qualitative. I think that also means that the system that is in place needs to sort of like provide a lot more sort of like, needs to have a lot more confidence in the teacher who's teaching the subject. It's a matter of sort of like trust, like, because on the one hand, if you have all of these sort of like measures in place, it's principally because you do not trust the teacher. And that all goes back to a hiring process. Which doesn't sort of like, you know, an HR sort of like process that doesn't actually sort of like know what other sort of like objectives of, you know, teaching of a teacher who's supposed to be teaching that subject. That needs to be reevaluated. I have no sort of like, you know, hard and fast answer. I'm not an economist. I'm not a planner. But based on, I guess, some of the models that I've been looking at, it is to sort of like ensure that certain sort of like patterns or sort of like thinking and evaluating and how you are able to then sort of like achieve a much more sort of like balanced and critical sort of like and informed kind of like finding or statement needs to, you know, needs to be inculcated in the student life, and the class is meant to do that.
So we do also have, we have been talking about how prepared universities are to teach these subjects. What are your thoughts coming from a public university yourself, especially with the short timeline that's present right now to kind of get it on the road? And is there any way to prepare?
Oh, gosh. When is it being implemented? Next year, is that right?
Starting from 2019-2020 academic session.
So it has already started.
or it will at the next intake.
And students can do it any time during their study period.
Oh, okay. And this is at a university level?
Yes, undergraduates.
Right. You know, wow, that's hard. That's a sort of like hard question. But I suppose we can sort of like view this in a very positive light, right? In a more positive light, I should say, which is that it is a period of experimentation. That also means that we shouldn't sort of like assume that there is one right way to sort of like teach philosophy. I think it is a time to sort of like in the process of sort of like teaching the subject, it is also a process of discovery for ourselves. And that means the person that's in charge of teaching the philosophy, I think they need to sort of like start self-organizing, have more conversations with one another, maybe convene more informal kind of like, you know, networks that are able to sort of like impart or share teaching skills, do a major review of like, you know, what are some of the interesting ways in which philosophy is being sort of like taught from, you know, different parts of the world. We don't have to look very far. We can look at some of our neighbors' best practices and problematics, right? I mean, in Indonesia, for example, you have UGM in Yogyakarta teaching philosophy, has a philosophy department, but it's entirely run by people who only want to teach Pancasila. That's very problematic, only because it only encourages a very narrow sort of like way about thinking about philosophy. But what I want to sort of emphasize is that we need to start also challenging this idea that of appreciating civilization. That is a very problematic word that needs to be sort of like unpacked in our Malaysian sort of like discourse. It tends to be sort of like valorized as this very, as a measure of self-cultural worth. You know? Nevertheless, if you look at contemporary literature in anthropology, in the humanities, this word is a highly sort of like problematic term in which you measure your cultural achievement and worth according to a system of measurement that's already been predetermined by the West.
If you don't wear a shirt,
you are uncivilized.
Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us. You were listening to Simon Soon, Senior Lecturer in the Visual Arts Department at UM. You can, of course, also catch him on Night School Mondays at 9 p.m. right here on BFM 89.1.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.